You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Listed property group HighProp delivered what they have rightfully termed outstanding results for the year ended 30 June 2025. The group hiked its dividend per share 9.9% to 307.69 cents. Distributable income per share increased 2.3% to 378.8 cents, exceeding the updated guidance of up to 2% growth dividend in June 2025 during the pre-close disclosure. Now, the group, which has a 42 billion rand portfolio spanning properties in South Africa as well as Eastern Europe, saw distributable income grow 24% in euros and 20.5% in rands. So as of 30 June 2025, HighProp held 1.2 billion rand in cash and 2.5 billion rand in undrawn bank facilities after raising 808 million rand in the market in June. Let's speak now to HighProp CFO Brett Till. Thank you very much for your time this evening. So Brent, how would you characterize the results?
So I think obviously we're very pleased with the results. We've exceeded the guidance that we gave to the market. Distributable income per share was up 7.5%, and that exceeded our original guidance of 4-7%. And I think we're seeing the benefits of all the groundwork we've done over several years, much of what we've done to reposition the portfolio, to strengthen our balance sheet, to sort out the capital structure, is starting to bear fruit.
Operating income before the straight line rental accrual from South Africa in this period rose by 11%. What do we put this down to?
So if you look at the existing portfolio, well, let me put it this way, the 11% is partly due to the inclusion of Table Bay Mall for the full financial year. We acquired Table Bay Mall in March 2024. If you look at the like-for-like growth, the net operating income of the residual portfolio was up 5.1% year on year, which I think is also a pleasing result, especially given the tough economic times in South Africa.
So let's take a look at the different portfolios, right? And maybe we can start with the South African portfolio. Average monthly foot count across the group's 9 centres in South Africa was maintained at 7.2 million. How did you interpret that?
So I think the foot count is steady. There was a small actual growth in the foot count overall, but what's very pleasing is the growth in the tenant turnovers and the spend per head. So even though we're getting a similar number of shoppers, they are spending more money in our malls. And what's important for us is the increase in rental income. So our rental income increased by 3% in the existing South African portfolio. And what also fueled that is good growth in our turnover rentals, where we participate in some of the turnover growth that our tenants are achieving.
And retail vacancies increased to 4.2%. What opportunity does this present, if at all?
I think our retail vacancy is higher than it has been, correct. But this is because of us downsizing certain of the Pick and Pay stores and some of the Edgar stores. And that creates opportunities for us to bring in new tenants to complement the existing tenant mix or bring in tenants that would otherwise not be able to come into our malls. We do have plans for some of those. A very good example is Canal Walk, where we halved the Edgar's space from 11,000 square meters to 5,500 square meters. Edgar's continues to trade very well. It does similar turnovers in half of its space. And we've relet the upper level where Edgar's used to be to what we call Home Tech Sleep, which is a combination of home furnishings in Rochester, as well as Hi-Fi Corporation and Sleepmaster.
Mm-hmm. When you speak of some of the brands, I mean, your centers continue to attract sought-after brands, right? And I do wonder, maybe you can expand on that for our listeners, as well as the link between having the right kind of, I don't even know if right is the right word, but having good brands associate with the group, which maybe speaks to the foot count. Is that deliberate?
Yes, I think, I mean, we obviously like to have associations with a lot of the major retail groups. We work very closely with them across the portfolio, and being able to offer them space in multiple centers across the country is obviously a competitive advantage that we do have.
One of your major projects, the Somerset Mall Phase 2 expansion project, how is that faring? Is there an update for us, please?
So it's progressing to plan. The first phase of that project, which is the athleisure and affordable luxury retail section, that will be completed by November this year and should open for trade. That's adding another 5,500 square meters to the GLA at the center. Once that's complete, we'll then progress with the food court redevelopment, where we will completely renovate the old Edgar space and create a new food court and a new experience, and that will be completed by July next year.
And we go to Eastern Europe, which also presented some really good numbers. Tenants' turnover rising by some 6.6%, exceeding inflation.
Yes, so what happens in Europe, obviously, is you get indexation adjustments to your rental income, but there we have a higher proportion of our income comes from turnover-based rents. I think it talks as well to the repositioning we've done of those malls, to getting the tenant mixes the way we want them to be, and to the attractiveness of that to shoppers in the various cities. We've also done a lot to improve the dominance of the malls we have in their respective capital cities.
Speaking of which, you've got here Skopje City Mall, right, which has launched a rooftop open-air cinema in partnership with Cineplex, the only cinema in North Macedonia. And so this piqued my curiosity, and I went online and I Googled the city, finding out that it's a city of almost like 2 million people alone. The topography is just breathtaking as well, making its way onto a bucket list. But such experiences, right? I guess maybe we can speak to the overall story that the Eastern Europe portfolio tells you.
So I think you talk of the experiences, and that's something we try to do in all of our malls. You know, malls have become places where people go not just to shop, but to have experiences. And it's creating a differentiator, something that will bring them to the mall that they can't get through online shopping or, you know, other neighborhood centers, for example. And this is just a very good example of it, where the center, which has a very strong reputation in the city, does something that appeals to its residents, understanding the communities around it, and something that will then bring people to the center. And we obviously feed off that in terms of additional tenant turnovers and people spending money in the center when they come for the cinema experience. Sounds like a great way to spend a summer evening.
Absolutely. And then we take a look quickly at ESG reporting, what's happening in Rosebank Mall, Woodlands and Clearwater Mall as well.
Yeah, so we've made a lot of progress on some of our ESG initiatives, both the installation of solar at most of our sites. We are still waiting for approvals to do some of the solar installations in the Western Cape. We've made a lot of progress on our waste management initiatives. We've done some water education projects to try and reduce consumption of water, not only by ourselves, but also by our tenants. And particularly in Rosebank Mall, we did an energy project there where we're using gas and diesel generators as well as batteries to a far more efficient energy consumption within the center, and hopefully will give us some substantial financial benefits to the project.
The outlook for the group, Brent?
I think the outlook's very positive. I mean, we've given guidance of 10 to 12% increase in distributable income per share for the year going forward. I think we've built a lot of momentum. We're trying to focus on where we allocate our capital to make sure we get the right returns from the capital we've got to deploy, and just building on the progression and the momentum that we've built already. You know, we focus on our key priorities of maintaining the relevance and the dominance of our malls, keeping our balance sheet nice and strong. We reassess our portfolio every year to see that we've got the right assets, and we're importantly looking for new opportunities, particularly in Eastern Europe, where we see good risk-adjusted turn opportunities there to deploy some of our capital.
Brett, thank you so much for your time this evening. That was HighProp CFO Brett Till.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.